Well, thank you, Dave and Kelsey and the band. Kind of a happy, sweet day today. It was always nice to have Kelsey and her group up here. This is her last time for a little bit. She's getting ready to have another little life, and so this will be her last time probably till summer. You know, she'll be around, but she's going to have little other things to do. So keep praying for her, and thank you, Dave, for bringing that message. That was good. That was really good. A couple little housekeeping things before I send the kids out today. Adam made a very, if you were watching during communion, he made a very good commercial for us about what I'm getting ready to speak about. We are going to, in 5 weeks, we're going to take up an Easter offering, and part of our Easter offering will go for some refurbishment up on the stage. These monitors are like 20 years old. Our lights are about 15 years old. There's some things that are just going bad. And so we're going to try to set a goal of about $5,000. We are very frugal with the money that God gives us here. Every year we do a lot with a little, and we don't feel awkward asking that, even in some times where it seems a little bit of an uncertain time. So as you get your tax check, maybe you could tithe off of that, or I don't know, who knows what God would have you do this year. But we will have an Easter offering. You can give that at any time. Just put on an Easter offering. There's two things we're going to do with that. We have a gentleman in our church who's really good with outdoor things, and he's going to work on our pond back there also. And we're going to refurbish our pond area and make it so it's flat so we can fish, and then we're going to stock it with some more fish. So all that does all that. It doesn't sound like a lot of money, but we take a lot, and as Dave said, we make it into a little. And so we'll tell you a little bit more about that, but I wanted to put it in your head, and Adam kind of accentuated the fact that our lights are kind of going out and some other things like that, and those things are not cheap. And so we really appreciate it if you would pray about that and what your gift could be come Easter time this year. Let's go ahead and dismiss the kids at this time. See you guys later. Three kids. They slept in today, didn't they? All right. A couple of things that didn't make our news today, and I want to make sure and get those to you. One is Brandy and Chris have a new Hub shirt, and if you would like to get one and you work in the shirt in the Hub, or you want to support the Hub, you can see her and sign up for those today. She's getting ready to make the order, and so if you'd like to be a part of that, see Chris or Brandy, and there's a sign-up sheet out there for you to get that going, okay? I still got some feedback. Is that just me, Tom? Check, 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 check. Yeah, we'll just live with it. So let's pray, and we'll get into our lesson today. Jesus, I thank you that we can come, we can offer our praises to you, we can give you our tithes and our offerings. We can give you, we can participate in an incredible meal, and we're so thankful for that. I just pray that you would give us ears to hear, and our hearts would be open this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in a series that I started last week called Tend to Your Own Fire. Tend to Your Own Fire. And it's kind of special to me because I love fires. I love fires, fires of all kind, wood fires in a stove, in a fireplace, in a campfire, particularly in a campfire. I love being at a campfire and sitting there. It was really cute. Somebody got Kelsey yesterday a campfire chair that expands with the baby as they get older. And I'm like, I'm looking forward to sitting at that campfire with that little girl or boy, whatever it is. And we'll be glad to do that and see what God does as he does that. But I love fires. And I think it's a real indication of our spiritual life, because as you put the wood on the fire, you receive something back from it. You receive heat and warmth. You receive relaxation. You receive, you get to see Elvis in the fire dance. And you see all the different things that you guys see in a fire when you sit there and do it. And so it's wonderful to sit by a fire. There's nothing more relaxing for me. Some of you, that may not be the case. But I want to take that and let you think about how what it means to tend your fire spiritually. And it's important because I think you'll get an indication of the more wood you put on your fire, the more that spiritually you can move and grow and go where God wants you to go. And you don't grow cold, and you don't grow you don't get a sense of not knowing where your power and your strength comes from. And I think physically, and we often get so disjointed from God, and we get so disjointed because the circumstances of our life just suck the air out of us. And I sat in a couple different groups this week, and I heard the anguish of some of you who were sitting there and very upset about the bombings in the Ukraine, and seeing that we bombed a hospital, and seeing that there was kids that died, and hearing all those things, and not knowing what's going on. And it's heart-wrenching. It's horrible. But we have to be very careful as kingdom people that we not let the things, as Dave said, our circumstances take us a place that we're not meant to go. And what it does is we get angry and we get mad and we focus and we get off mission and we don't tend to our fire, so we can't tend to anybody else either. We can't help anybody else because we're cold ourselves. And be very careful. I admonished our folks that thought about that, and I said, it's important that we grieve for the things that break God's heart. And I think those things break God's heart. But don't forget that we're living in a society that kills thousands and thousands of kids every year. Right here in America. We take little babies from mamas every day, and we think nothing about it. We don't even, you know, oh, that's shame. Maybe we shouldn't do that. And when's the last time you got upset about that? And so I say all those things to say that tending your fire, you can get off mission. You can forget about the importance of taking your own spiritual wood and putting it on your fire so that you receive something back from that, because that's where God meets us. He meets us in the fire. He meets us. That's where the power comes from. It comes as we stoke our own flames of intimacy with God, and intimacy that comes from that. Then we begin to bring that intimacy with others, and we begin to get broke for the things that happen around us that hurt other people. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, 10-year fire. Brenda and I watch a stupid show on TV, and maybe some of you probably watched it once and stopped, but for some reason we got hooked on it. It's Survivor, and there's 41 seasons of that stupid show, and I think I've seen every one of them, and you can laugh at me and say, you're really stupid. Why in the world do you watch? It's the same thing that happens every time. And we just watched. That's one of the things that we do. That's something we both like to do, and so we watched it. And if you know anything about Survivor, if you've never seen it, basically it's these people get stranded on an island, and they're competing to get $1 million. And there's these scenarios that are set up by the show every time to get them to do. And a big part of Survivor is knowing how to start a fire. And it is amazing to me how many people come to that show and do not know how to start a fire. If I was going to go to a show, I would go and I would spend money to say, teach me how to do a fire. But they don't. And they don't know how to tend a fire. They don't know how to start a fire. And then they come to a part in the show where if they're at an impasse, they have to build a fire. And then when they build the fire, they have to make it go so big that it takes a string that's over top, and it takes that string and the string goes away. And whoever does that first wins. And I'm thinking, what idiots? What idiots? They go on this show that they know they're going to have to build a fire and they don't. They know they're going to have to be able to contend and tend to that thing to be able to stay in the game, and they don't. But yet, a lot of us today, we're like that too. we're kind of silly when it comes to knowing not just how to start a fire, but how to keep it going. We may be able to get it going. We may be able to start it, but how do you keep it going? And that's what we're going to talk about today, another aspect of that that I want to talk to you about. I talked about last week the word discipline, and I love hate that word because it is a word that a lot of us hate. We don't like it because it's structured, because it means that we have to do the same things. I was dropping off some baby stuff last night at Adam and Kelsey's, and they opened the garage, and I look in there, and there's all this incredible fitness equipment in Adam's, and I know he spends a lot of time because I felt it. He's solid. He's a solid guy, and there's these fitness things, and he spends a lot of time doing that. And I'm a little bit jealous of him because I don't do that. And look at me. So I understand discipline, but I understand what discipline does. Discipline takes us and it prepares us for the things that are coming in front of us. When the things that bad happen around us, we're ready to take them on. We're ready. We don't melt like butter in a microwave. We don't just go away. We're able to stand and stand tall. So today, what I want to talk about, the aspect I want to talk about of tending to your fire, I want to talk about, is real change possible? Can we really, really do this? Can we tend our own fires and keep them going? Can I get to a point where I can really take care of myself spiritually? And I understand you need podcasts, and I understand you come to church, but I'm telling you again and again and again, that will never keep you spiritually fit. You have to be able to have your own disciplines. You have to have your own regiment that says, this is what I'm doing to take my spiritual walk in a direction that God wants it to go. Why is it that it's so hard for us to have real change? And we addressed this a couple weeks ago in our Why series, but I want to spend a little time on that because I think we have to believe that change is possible. Every one of us in this room have something in our hearts and our minds and our eyes that we'd say, I would like to change this about me. And you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you've tried. Why is that so hard? I'm here to say today, I think real change can happen, but it doesn't come from trying. It doesn't come from trying. And I'm going to flesh that out here in a minute. So today our thought is this: with God's help, I'm going to choose what we want most over what we want now. Let me say it again. With God's help, we will choose what we want most over what we want now. And that's the deal with discipline. Discipline is, if I do this, I got to do it today? No. I got to do it every day? No. If I got to do it once, okay. But I don't want to do it every day. I don't want to have to do it every day, because when I do it every day, it gets boring. It's hurtful. You wake up and you're sore. If it's a workout or something, you every fiber in you fights against it. So with God's help, we're going to choose what we want most over what we want now. And that's how I believe real change is possible. We're going to talk about that today. If you got your Bibles or you want to look in our passage today, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It's everything we're talking about today. I'm not using too many side verses, so you can keep it right here, parked right there. Apostle Paul is talking. He adds this question. He said this. He's talking to a people in Corinth. Don't you realize, Christians, you're running a race? Nope. Everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. How's that possible? So Paul says, if you're going to run, run to win. Run to win. Because all athletes are disciplined, there's that word, in training. They do it for a prize that will fade away. But we, as followers of Christ, we do it for an eternal prize, one that glorifies God and one that lasts forever. I love hate that verse. I love hate it. I love it because I've read it 1,000 times and I gloss over it because not everybody wins. And I look at that and read it. I haven't won every time I do everything in my life. I've tried a lot. And I still haven't won. So what the heck is Paul talking about here? Paul says, when I run with purpose in every step. He goes on to say, I do not shadow box. See, shadow boxing is good for a second, but then pretty soon you need more. You can't, it just, you need resistance. You need to hit something. I'm not just shadow boxing. No, I need more. I have more. He was writing to the Corinthians, and Corinth was a city in Greece, and Greece understood exactly what he was talking about because their city was the premier city. Their city was a city that held the Olympics every 4 years. That's where it originated from. They understood races. They understood competing. They understood that if you don't discipline yourself, you can't just run a marathon. You've got to work up to it. Paul was talking to a group of people that understood this verbiage that he's talking about here. And he said, don't you realize, church, that you're in a race? And I said that word, no. I think we forget we're in a race. I think we forget that the Christian life is a race. And he calls us to win. It's one of the only times in the Bible that he really says it's okay to excel. It's okay to stand out. It's okay to run to finish the race. So while you're doing your life and while you run it to win, you don't run it to be just this pathetic person that doesn't know why you're here, that just goes through the paces, that just goes through the motions, that does just whatever it is you're doing and has no purpose to it. Why? I don't know. Why you do? I don't know. Because everybody else is doing that. And I guess I'm supposed to do that. And I'll do it for a little while until it falls off and then I don't do it. And it doesn't work. If you don't like the Apostle Paul, who chided the Christians and the Corinth Church and the Impact Christian Church and the Church of the World, there's plenty other places in the Bible that talk about it. I want to do today, I want to challenge you to find the joy in doing your best for Jesus. I think that's what I came to tell you today. You need to get joy in doing your best for Jesus. A lot of you are not doing your best. Some of you are phoning it in. Some of you are going through the paces. You're not running to win. You're shadow boxing a little bit. And you're thinking you're okay. And then you look at your life and you go, well, I'm fearful. I'm scared. I'm depressed. I'm angry. Does that sound like fruit of the Spirit? It really doesn't. Doesn't at all. Paul chided the people. Let me give you a couple other instances in the Bible where the Bible talks about it's good to be number one. It's good to run to win. In the garden, God looks at Adam and Eve and he says to them, this simple phrase that if you don't look over and think about it, he says, be fruitful and multiply. He says, go fill the earth, take it over, subdue it. That's a really big word, subdue it. Take over the world. Reproduce, conquer, go out, kill something, bring it home, eat it, build something significant, and you're doing it with a purpose and a plan, not just to get through to tomorrow. Evidence one. Evidence two, Matthew 25. Jesus tells a story, a parable about an owner, about this manager who basically has three different guys, and these three different guys have different talents. And so he goes to these two guys and he says, I want you all to go out and I want you to use your best you got and then come back and show me what you did with it. That's the gist. Two of the guys go out and they do it. They compete. They run to win. They run with a purpose. Our master told us to do it. He did it. They went out. They played to win. They doubled their investment. The master says, well done. Good job. Way to go. And there was one guy who was afraid to play. Bible says he just hid it under a bushel. He put it away. Didn't want to lose it. He kept what he had. He didn't show it to anybody else. He didn't invest it. That master called him lazy. Called him lazy. And then he said, "You're wicked." Ouch. You're not only lazy, you're wicked. The master says, "Take it away from this guy. All of it." He lost because he didn't do anything with what I gave him. He didn't do nothing. He just hid it under a bushel. He hid it in the ground. I hope this sinks in with some of you today. God wants you to get the joy of doing your best. Are you? Not for you, not for your company, not for your family, for God. For God. Last thing Jesus said before he went to heaven, you can find it in Matthew. He says these words to a bunch of ragtag bunch of disciples that have followed him around, don't know what the heck's going on. He died, he came to life, he's sitting there in front of him, and he's getting ready to go up on a cloud. He's going up on a cloud. He says this, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. For the win! For the win! That's the win! That's the win. It is not how much money you have. It's not what you're doing with your time. The win is those things. Tending your fire. Taking and be sure that you are spiritually where God wants you to be so you can do his will. So here's the question today that I posed to myself and I posed to you. Why aren't we winning? Why aren't we making progress? Why is some of our fires just cold as ice? It's because we've been trying for too long. And I came to say one message today. I've got one message. I believe you've been trying for too long and you've not been training yourself. There's my message. What did Jeff talk about? He told me that I've been trying and I need to stop trying and I need to begin training. Because that's what Paul said. He didn't say, "I want you to go and to try to win the race." He said, "Win the race. Run to win the race." Didn't say try. You see, we've set ourselves up in this culture of everybody is good and everybody gets a trophy and everybody does. No. Run to win, church. Run to win, Christians. See, most Christians have adopted this theology of trying, and it's not working. That's what I talked about last week. What are you doing? I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to be a good Christian person. I'm trying to go to church. I'm trying to read my Bible. I'm trying to stop smoking. I'm trying to stop cussing. I'm trying until you're sick of it. Until you're sick of it. Why? Are we not having real change? Because we've been trying for too long and not training. Not training. We've got to stop trying and start training. And what training, the difference between these two things is it's a really another form of tending the fire. It's a discipline. It's time to that what we do is trying never really gets the results you really, really want. But training does. Every time training does, it gets some results. You say, "Well, Jeff, that's kind of harsh, isn't it?" No. See, trying never changes things long term. Trying doesn't change things for long term, but training is an entirely different way of thinking about stuff. It's a difference, and that's what I want to talk about for just a moment, and then we're going to close. See, what is trying? Trying is an attempt to change with minimal commitment. Let me say that again. Trying is an attempt to change with minimal commitment, okay? I want to be better financially off, But I don't mind paying $7 every day for Starbucks, 5 days a week. And I only got this much money, and then the gas goes up, and I'm like, oh, everything's going to hell in a handbag. And there's every one of us have those areas of our life. I'm trying. Really? Okay. I want to be financially, no. I want to do what God wants me to do. Yet I can't read my Bible. I want to do what God wants me to do, and yet I don't help anybody else. I just, you know, just sit around and let somebody else pick up that mantle. You see, trying has not real commitment behind it. There's no real commitment behind trying. Because when you try, you can what? You can stop. But when you're training, you're invested. When you're training, the power of God comes over you and just does something like you never, ever thought before. And that's what I want us to get today. Because tending to your fire means that I've got to train myself. And I have a part in this. Yes, God comes and does what he does supernaturally in and through us. I agree with that 1,000%. But we have got to get to the point where we say, here's our responsibility. There's some training involved. I don't know everything. Therefore, I'm going to train myself to know some more. Therefore, I'm going to find out. I don't know why. Instead of just letting it float on and go look at some cat video on TikTok, I will train myself. You see the absurdity in some of our reasonings? Training is very different. Training is a wholehearted commitment to get a very specific goal. The difference between training and trying is this. When we're trying, we say things like, I hope this works out. I hope you never go into your relationships like that. I hope this works out. No, I'm praying that this works out, and I'm going to be victorious in this, and we're going to train ourselves to be this husband and wife, and we're going to know what it means to be who God wants us to be. And when you know the difference between trying and training, then things start to turn. When you're training, you've got a game plan. You've got a strategy. You got some fight in you. You got that eye of the tiger. You know, the Rocky thing where we all amazed at that. Those, the old, older ones that watch Rocky, the younger ones don't know what Rocky is, but he goes and he does all his incredible things and you go, oh, I want to do that. You might even get an exercise. You might do it for a day, and I'm going to try to do that. And it doesn't work very long. But if you commit to training and you do it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. See, when you're training, you don't act according to your feelings. You're acting according to a commitment you made to who? To Jesus. And so you make this commitment to Jesus, and then everything you do says, that's where I'm headed. That's where I'm going. The Apostle Paul says it this way. He says, everyone who competes in the games, they go into strict training. Look what the Apostle Paul told Timothy about being godly. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Whenever Paul was talking to Timothy, he says, I want to tell you what it means to be godly, Timothy. I want to show you, young man, what it means to be godly. And here's what he said. He said, train yourself to be godly. He didn't say, stand around and wait for God to zap you. He didn't say, get some impartation from some pastor to come up and zap you and then you got it. He said, train yourself. Train, not treat yourself. That's the office. That guy. Train yourself. Train yourself. Some of you are thinking I said treat. It's consistently doing what I'm going to do today that enables me to do more tomorrow. That's what it is. What I do today enables me to do a little bit more tomorrow. If I'm walking 20 steps today, tomorrow I can walk 25. And then 30. I can't walk 2 miles tomorrow. I just can't. I won't be able to. But I can walk. I can walk 5 more steps or 10 more steps. Can you get out of debt in a day? No. But you can do it little by little, step by step. Training, it's a process. Can you become a spiritual powerhouse by noon? Not most of us. But if you do the things that God has showed us to do, worship Him, pray, have a regular time with Him, have a time to listen, then those things become so much ingrained as a part of us. And when we're training, God has given us the power for every step. So when we take one step, He empowers us to take another step. And then when we take that step, we take another step. And on and on and on it goes. Several of you have experienced this, and you know what I'm talking about. When you launch out, when you step out, God does, and you go, how did I do that? Paul says in verse 26, he says, so I run with purpose in every step that I take. This isn't accidental. It's not unintentional. It didn't just fall on me. I want you to notice he said this, I am disciplined. He said, I am disciplined like an athlete. I don't think he was, but he called himself that because that's who he wanted to be. I am disciplined like an athlete. Not somebody who wants to be an athlete, not somebody who's going to be an athlete in the future, but I discipline myself like an athlete. Because why? It's an identity. It's who I am. That's who we talked about last week. Who are we? We're God's. And so if I'm an athlete, I identify as God's person, and I don't say I'm just always going to be this way. I'm always going to be angry. I'm always going to be, you know, gritchy. I'm always, you, whatever. You, no. I am an athlete. I'm an athlete. And when you know who God says you are, when you know who you are, and you're going to know what to do. And you know how to do it and where to go. Whenever you're trying, you're hoping that it comes about. But when you're training, you're becoming more of what you already are. You're becoming more of what you already are. Because remember last week we said we have the same inheritance as Jesus? Jesus says, I gave you everything. God says, I gave you everything I gave Jesus. More than the angels even. I gave you all you need to be victorious in this place that some of us call this horrible life. This horrendous life that you're living, it's so dismal and so abyss, and you go, what, why, where am I, who am I? Because you don't know who you are, because you're not walking in who you are. You are an athlete. Run to win. Don't run just to go through the motions. Don't run to make somebody else feel good. Don't run because you think you should. You run because of who you are. And when you do that, you begin to walk in the spirit that we talked about last week. See, God sees us as this incredible person that we don't see ourselves. Many of us, we don't. And you know what? I over the last several years, it has changed my life because I was always this person that was always in the background. I was always at a church where I was like the third or fourth guy on the staff. And I was happy with that. And all of a sudden, when God kind of put me in the front, and I'm going, I don't want to be in the front. I don't want to be up front, up here saying, here's what God says. But I began to understand who I was, and I began to saw my mission. I saw what my mission was. And once I saw what my mission was, I began to understand that there's things that God wants me not just to think about myself, but He wants them to speak about myself. And if you're always speaking, I'm no good. And if you're always speaking, that's just the way I'm always going to be. And if you're always speaking, I'm just going to never be able to forgive. I'm never going to. That has to stop. It has to stop. That is not part of the training that God has called you to. You must speak even though things look horrible around you. Look around us. Our world is in chaos. But God has called us to be victorious now, not to get caught up in what the news says and people say and my grandma says and this person says, but to know whose we are, what we are, and what we're supposed to do. Most of our dads and our moms, they failed us at that. They didn't show us who we were. They didn't show us who God was. But you know now. You know now who you are. You know now who you belong to. Walk in it. Walk in that. I now see myself as this. I see myself kind of as a spiritual dad. I see myself as somebody that has people to protect. You guys, I love that. It has increased my love for you guys. It increased the prayers that I have for you guys because I know where my love comes from, because my love runs very shallow. My love goes very, very shallow. I don't got much. I get ticked really easy. Not anymore. Not as much as like I used to. I get disappointed. Not anymore. Not near as much because I know who I am. And I know what my job is, and I know my job is to come alongside people like you and like me and say, come on, guys, we're athletes. Train with passion. Train with authority. Train with the knowledge that you've got the inheritance of God. It is all yours. It is not somebody else's. It was not given to the guy who's got all the money. It was not given to the guys that get all the breaks. It was given to you. Kind of jazzed up a little, Jeff, aren't you? I am. Tried to change. I've tried. I think you've been trying too hard. I think you just need to drop your trying and go into training. And your words need to be words, not just boastful words, but my dad owns it all. My dad's got a plan for me. My dad has a purpose for me. And my dad is calling me to walk with a fervor and to walk with a step that says, I know where I'm going and I know what I'm doing. And if all you're thinking about is going to college and going to Harvard and going to this and doing this, going to this place and going to that place, and I'm going to go on vacation, and you're not thinking about what God wants you to do, you're not training. You're not training. You're trying. But are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you doing what God wants you to do, or are you doing what you want to do? Because what I want to do always leads up to me just trying. And you know what trying does? It just frustrates you. Just frustrates you. So you ask God to help you to change. You change the way you think. You don't let the devil tell you who you're not, who you are. You're always, always, always going to be unhealthy if you listen to the devil. You're always going to be unhealthy if you listen to other people who say what you are, who you are. Well, you're just this. You're just that. You're never going to change. You ever heard that from your spouse? You're never going to. Start treating your spouse like, say, you're a king. You're a queen. You're a child of God. You're an athlete. Let's train together. Let's train. I'm no longer just a failing marriage. I'm no longer two people that battle it out in the same household and just sit there and we scream and yell at each other and we have a relationship once in a while and it gets worse and it gets better and it gets better and it gets worse. No, I'm in training. We're a marriage in training. I got kids and I want my kids to grow up godly. I want them to know who Jesus is. I'm not a horrible parent. I'm a parent in training. I'm here today and I'm a little older and the years of my life, I spent a lot of them, but are all my good years gone? No. God wants to use you. He wants to use you, whether you're just starting out or whether you think your years are counting down, which all of our years are counting down. which behooves every one of us in here to say, it's time to stop going through the motions and time to make each moment and each day count. I've done so many funerals recently, and every funeral I sat to, I heard people say, if only I would have said that, if only we would have done this, if only we would have been a part of this. And you know what those are? Those are regrets. Those are regrets. Stop living with regrets. Start living with purpose. Let's pray as the band comes. Jesus, I love you, and I just pray that you make some sense out of some stuff I said today. I pray that you'll let us see that trying is fruitless, but training is priceless. God, help us to train. Help us to start today. Even if we walked in here and this just sounds too lofty and too big and I can't do that, God, would you just do a little kicking in our butts today? Just kick some butt today here and let some hearts open up and say, maybe today I'm going to stop trying and I'm going to go to training. Jesus, honor the prayers of our hearts today. We love you. Amen. Listen, church, you're not successful.